case you've not been here, my name is Dennis Nunn. I'm a friend of your pastor's and an evangelist out of Georgia. And this summer, Pastor Mike and I are co-leading a sermon series entitled Every Believer a Witness. And each week, there are a set of notes that each person gets. Today is number 4. It's entitled Defeating Fear. If you do not have one of these in your hand, will you raise your hand and let our ushers get them to you? Because this is going to be one of the most helpful lessons that we'll teach all week. So you want to be sure that you have those. And just keep your hands up. They're a lot toward the back there, men. Just keep your hands. Thank you. They'll get them to you. I don't know if you noticed. I was singing this morning, worshiping the Lord, and I was just rejoicing about how much our music had been centered on Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And I love it. However, statistics, surveys show us that in most Baptist churches, 90% plus of the people will come to church and sing about Jesus, but they don't go out during the week telling anybody about Jesus. And so Pastor Mike said, we're going to do this series. If you miss week one or two or three, we have extra notes on our resource table out by the clock. But week one, we just talked about the fact that that witnessing was not for the staff or outgoing people or gifted people. It's for everybody. And we ask you just to ask God to help you obey Him and care about people. Week two, we looked at what a witness does. Witness doesn't preach. Witness doesn't give some scripted presentation. Witness just tells what they know to be true about Jesus. And then last week, we actually, right in the Sunday morning service, wrote out our stories. My life before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus, my life since Jesus came in. And next to Acts 1:8, which says we're to be witnesses, the next most important verse is James 1:22, which talks about be a doer of the word. And so this week, we all had an assignment to share our story. Well, I've got an assignment, or would you do me a favor, have some homework, with two people. And so I want, before Pastor Mike comes, I want a couple of folks real quick. Now, we don't have long. This got to be quick. This can be for anybody. I need a couple of people to just stand up real quick and tell us about sharing your story this week. In other words, not your story, just where you were, who is with, how you got started, how it went. Just real short, real quick, and we got to be quick, so don't be shy. Anybody can do it, and I know most of us are doers. So don't be shy. I'll get to you real quick. Just raise your hand. You shared your story this week. Yes, ma'am, I see you over here. If you'll stand up. Tell us your name.
Nancy.
Nancy, where were you?
I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Who was it with?
I was with people in my community.
All right. How'd you get started?
I told what I did this week.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you ask them, say, you know, I've got a homework assignment, or would you listen to this, or what?
This week I was at Miracle Hill Rescue Mission.
Okay.
I was with my ladies. I told them that if they didn't know Jesus, they could know Jesus the way I learned to know Jesus, by asking Him to come into my life.
Now, excuse me for interrupting. Did you share your story about how you trusted?
Yes.
Good. Yes. What happened when you finished?
Most of the ladies at my Bible study all know Jesus, and I let one other lady share her story.
Praise the Lord. Excuse me for going back and forth. Thank you for that. Now, this is interesting. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's good. That is an interesting thing. Did you notice what she said? Most of the people she shared with already knew the Lord. Now, you know what happens when you share? We're in the South. A lot of folks going to already know Him. When you share with somebody who knows Jesus, it blesses them. It blesses you. I tell you, when we go out talking about Jesus, it's just win, win, win. You can't go wrong. I need one more real quick. Somebody just tell us. I know we're doers. We didn't come to church. We're doers. Somebody tell me real quick. You shared your stories. Where you were, who was with, how you got started, how it went. Don't be shy. Do I see a hand? Yes, sir. I see a hand back here. Okay, if you'd stand up, I'll try to do better with the mic back and forth. Your name is?
On Monday morning, as I arrived at the shelter, the children's shelter I work, there was a lull time in there, and one of our new staff members was there. And
how'd you get started?
I just said, I just like you said last week, I'm going to share something with you that we learned in a class this week, and if you have a couple minutes. And she said, sure. And so I shared with her my testimony. From the time I was born again to living my life now with failures and successes. And
what happened when you finished?
I looked at her and I said, And she started talking about her story.
Good.
And as she did, I said, would you like to take care of that now? Because she said she was like this. And a young lady in her early 20s. And she said, yes, I would like to. I would like to take care of that now.
And she trusted Christ?
Trusted Christ.
Praise
right
God.
There.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you why we gave you this real easy, would you do me a favor method. Because for most people, sharing your story is scary. And that's why Pastor Mike this morning is going to be teaching us how to defeat fear. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Dennis. I want you to take out your lesson plan there as we're going to walk through there this morning, because there are really 7 points that I'm going to give to you that deal with the idea of you conquering your fear. The reason that a lot of people probably right now, and this is true of any crowd that you go into, are not ready to jump up is why? Fear. We're afraid to do that. We're afraid of what someone else would think. We're afraid that we won't know. We are afraid of all the things that are there. And fear is a big deal. You know, this week, I in preparing for this, I just looked up. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to look for some common fears, some fears that are there, and some list of fears. This is what I found interesting. I went and I searched the internet, and there were a top 10 list of fears. The only thing is, you can find about 40 of them. There's a top 10 physically, there's a top 10 emotionally, there's a top 10 intellectually, there's a top 10 personally. I mean, basically, let me tell you, everybody is afraid of everything. I mean, there's not anything that we are not afraid of. Because it becomes a phobia for us. And then, you know, it's a persistent, phobias are persistent, abnormal, or illogical fear of a specific thing or situation. Some of us, there's the ophidiophobia, which is a fear of sharks, or a fear, and that's probably a healthy one to have, by the way. There's also the fear of cacophobia. That is the fear of ugliness, all right? I don't know if that's of the ugliness in somebody else or your own, but let you figure it out. Aviophobia is a fear of flying. A lot of people have that. Felacrophobia is a fear of baldness. You know, who would think that you would have that? There's another one. Pantherophobia is a fear of, and I've seen a lot of you guys have this, it's the fear of mother-in-laws. Well, some people have that. Some people, it dominates their, it's their not, like, we've just seen it here. Glossophobia is the fear of speaking in public. Nobody wants to speak out in public. And by the way, that always makes the list of everything. So that's one of the reasons that we have this fear. And then the last one I saw is sesquipedalophobia, and that's the fear of long words. I'd love to find the person who made that up, okay? It just there. We're not talking about any of those today. We're talking today very specifically about the phobia that is witnessiophobia, witness phobia, that we're scared to tell our story. So we're going to talk today a little bit biblically about how to overcome your fear of witnessing. Now, I want you to understand something here. This is not a lesson that will tell you or give you information so that you will never be afraid. Hey, let me tell you, it takes something to step out there. That happens to me. I just don't know of anybody that doesn't have some anticipation, because we want to do it right, because we know it's so important. But what we want to understand here is that we cannot let that dominate our lives. So how do we overcome our fear of witnessing? Well, number one, first and foremost, is understand that fear is normal. It's not unusual. You're not alone. You're not the only one in here that's thinking about that. It is normal. It is normal for us to have fear. That's why the Bible says so much about dealing with our fear. But when you look at the Scripture, and you look here in your lesson notes, we see that fear was common even to the heroes of the Bible. When Abraham was called, he was afraid. When Moses was called to lead the people of Israel, the Bible says that he was afraid. That when Elijah stood before Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, he was afraid. When Peter was there and he denied the Lord, he was afraid. And we even see it in the Apostle Paul. And I want to read you one passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this. This is what Paul says. The Apostle Paul said this. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now listen, if Paul has trouble with this, if it's a struggle for him, I don't feel so bad about it being a struggle for me. Nobody here can say, well, you know, I can't do that. You first of all have to understand that fear is normal. Secondly, what we need to do is understand, or in dealing with that fear, is ask friends to pray for you. In other words, get it out there. Ask people to pray for you. I do that all the time. I tell people, listen, I'm going into a situation here where I want to try to share Christ, or it's a particularly difficult set of circumstances. I said, man, just pray for me. Hey, that's what you ought to do. Ask people to pray for you. In Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, and that's going to come up on the screen there. I want you to read this with me, okay? Let's read it. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. What we need to do is ask friends to pray for us. We're not in this alone. I know that you feel that way sometimes, but you're not. We'll talk some more about that in a moment, about the Holy Spirit. But you've got people that know you and love you and have confidence in you. And they would pray for you if you would just ask them to. You know, really, there are two extremes when it comes to praying for the lost. One is that some Christians never pray for the lost. We pray about a lot of things, about the things that we want or need or the sicknesses we have, but many times we don't pray for the lost. The second is this: some Christians pray for the lost and never share the gospel. We think about lost people. We think about a lost world. And yet we never share the gospel. So we need to ask our friends to help us step out and be what God has to be. Number three, expect to face opposition. It's going to come. It's not going to be overwhelming, but many times it will not be easy. Look at the scripture there, John 15, verse 20. Because these scriptures are so clear and so important. And they are written. These scriptures are written to us. Read this with me. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Hey, it's going to come. We don't live in an easy world. And the Bible teaches us that opposition is going to come to us. Now, a lot of us are so afraid of that, we back away and don't ever want to do anything in terms of developing our witness, our testimony, because we're afraid. We need to see it coming and know it's coming and know that we are not going to face it alone. What does the Bible say? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Doesn't say we might be. It doesn't say it's a possibility. What it says is this: if you live for the Lord Jesus, live for the Lord Jesus, listen, the world, the devil's going to come after you. But you don't need to be afraid, because the Lord is with you. And you have a testimony to share that is so powerful. So how do you get away from that? How do you get away from the idea that, boy, this is going to be a tough time? What if somebody doesn't like me? What if somebody opposes me? What if somebody challenges me? And by the way, we'll talk in this moment. Folks, people are ready. They are ready to hear the message that you have to share with them. But sometimes we are afraid. How do we get around that idea of opposition? Well, this is step number 4. Focus on your rewards. And there are a lot of rewards that are there. Over in the sidebar there in your notes, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad." This is what the Lord's saying. "For great is your reward in heaven." God gives to you a guarantee. "Great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Rejoice and be glad. Scripture teaches that there are really two types of rewards. One are eternal rewards. Eternal rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 says this. Read this with me. "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his own labors." You are going to be rewarded for being a faithful witness. You see, do you see how this balances out the idea of living in a pagan world? And that God understands we live in a pagan world and that opposition will come against us. But right behind that, the Lord Himself brings those rewards to us. But there are also earth rewards. In Philemon, verse 6 there, it says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ Jesus." Let me tell you, that verse is a picture is a total picture. He's talking about your life. He's not talking about just one specific small area. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's part of it. That's part of it, that you have that reward, that God touches your life and He uses that for your honor and glory. So we need to understand that fear is normal. We need to ask our friends to pray for us, expect to face opposition, to focus on our rewards. And then, number 5, we need to forsake the win the mentality. This is kind of like keeping score. We feel like we're a loser if we don't get a great response. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that we are to sow the seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says this: "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Ladies and gentlemen, we work for Him. Let me tell you, you go out and you share your faith, and someone says, "Man, that's the greatest news I've ever heard. Yes, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ." We don't have the right to walk away and say, "Boy, look at what I've done." You work for Him. You have been used of God to share with someone the best news they're ever going to receive. All the glory goes to them. And our task is simply to share with them. There's a great example of this, probably the best in all of Scripture, is found in Matthew chapter 13. You see a comment on that over in your sidebar said, it is the condition of the soil and the skill of the sower. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 13. In that story, you know, Jesus is telling about the soils, and he mentions four. He says, you're to spare the seed. And there in verse 19, he says, this was what was sown along the path. There's a worn path where the seed is thrown. And then there is the rocky ground. Jesus mentions the rocky ground. That's where it's hard to sow, but the sower sows the seed there. And then in verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves it unfaithful. But the seed is still sown. And then in verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, another 60, and another 30. Now let me tell you something. Here's the picture. Here's the picture. It's the picture. It's the agricultural. I'm just sowing the seed. Not every seed comes up, but you throw it out there. I mean, anybody that's involved in agriculture, those of you and I, listen, all of you know, I'm telling you what, I have 10 black thumbs. And frankly, I'm grateful for every one of them, okay? That's not my thing, but I know this. Some of you who are very gifted and very talented in that, you have to sow the seed. And you have to do it over and over and over again. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. The task of the sower is not to stand there and wait for every seed to come up, but it's to sow it. And if it's rocky ground, if it's thorny ground, if it's on that hard path, if it's a good soil, that's not your task. God tells us to go. He tells us to go and share the gospel. That's what we're to do. And we're not there just to keep score. The Lord is the one who does that. So therefore, listen, you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of failure. You don't have to be able to score. You won't have to be afraid that someone will think you're not good at this. I will tell you, over the years, and I'm sure Dennis can tell you this, I've heard people give me a testimony of how they said, well, I shared my testimony with them, and I said, well, how'd you do that? And I've had people tell me this, and when they tell me what they said to those people, I'm thinking, they'd not practiced as we did last week. They'd not written down their testimony, and they'd not thought about the gospel. They took them around the Horn of Africa telling them something. And I'll tell you, after they told me that, I said, how in the world would that ever come to gospel? I'll tell you what, I've been with people. I've trained people where I would go in there, and they would share their testimony. And they would share their testimony. It would be their task to share their testimony, to share the gospel, and they'll do that. And I'm sitting there just dying. I tell you, I'm dying, okay? Because it's just going in every direction. And they'll say to that person, well, would you like to know Christ as your Savior? And they'll say, yes, I would. And I want to say, no, you wouldn't. The presentation was all mixed up. But you see, God used it. God used it, and he used that person when he chose to do that, when he didn't know one else. See, that should give us a great confidence. The truth of the matter is that God turns us around. He turns us around, and he brings us from a place of fear to a place of confidence. So we need to forsake that win the mentality and just say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And number six says, don't forget that you have good news. Good news. You know, in our world, that is in short supply. Boy, you turn on one of the news networks, I mean, they're discouraged if there's not 14 hurricanes and 10 tornadoes and 12 terrorist incidents and scandals, because there's not a lot of good news out there. The gospel is good news. You see that there in your notes there. In Luke chapter 2, this is what happened. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You have that underlined in your notes there. Fear not and good news. But I'll tell you what, if I were you, I would also circle the little phrase there, good news of great joy. Because that's what it is. It is great joy. And in an overwhelmingly negative world where there's all this bad news, we have to remember, listen, we've got the best news that person has ever heard in their life. That you don't have to live on your record. You can go to heaven and spend eternity with Him, knowing Jesus as your Savior. I tell you, we're sometimes so scared that someone is not going to respond properly. We need to remember that. You know, those of you that are in sales, listen, we have the greatest product that has ever been. It's the greatest thing they've ever heard. It counteracts and deals with anything that is difficult in our culture. So don't forget, listen, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to back up. You walk right in there and share your story of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and you have shared with them the best news they are ever going to hear. And then number 7, finally, remember, it is an obedience issue. It's an obedience issue. All of these things are great, but ladies and gentlemen, bottom line is, God tells us to do it. God, the Lord tells us to do that. Over there in the sidebar, John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Luke 19:10, you put it on the screen there. It is, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's read that together. We need to understand that. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And then down in John chapter 20, read this with me. "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.'" You see, it's very simple. It's a choice for us. You can live with the fear, or you can go in confidence. So all of these things are available to us. We can understand that fear is normal. We can ask our friends to pray for us. We can expect to face opposition. But we can also focus on our rewards. We can forsake the win them mentality. But we don't forget that we have good news. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, it is saying that finally we remember it is an obedience issue. Now I want you to turn to the back there for a moment. And having seen all these, and the scripture is so clear. The scripture is so clear. It speaks to us in two ways, I believe. I believe it speaks to us in terms of where we are with our lives. It speaks to us personally, how we look at this. But it also speaks to us about what we can do. So, based on what we have just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Well, Dennis mentioned the verse earlier in the hour. "Be ye doers of the word," right there in your notes, "and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And make the decision Make the decision to defeat your fears. Be proactive. I want you to look over to the left there. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And that's what God has given you. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God, and He gives us that spirit of power and love, self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Make the decision. Ladies and gentlemen, today, what you are doing at this moment is not going and searching for a reason not to be fearful. We've seen what God's Word says. It's clear. It's very simple. It's not complicated. It's for every person. There's no one here that's an exception. Everyone has been covered. So if you are searching for that reason not to be afraid, based on what you know, you've already gone past that. But what we need to do is to move past that, and then to do, as it says here, make the decision. I'm going to decide today. I'm going to defeat my fear. That's not always easy. But I'll tell you what, it does, in every case, begin with a decision. Now, look down what it says in your notes. Knowing it is God's will and with God's help, starting right now, I will not let fear keep me from witnessing. And I'll tell you what, you're not going to turn this in. You're not going to give it to anybody else. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to sign that right down below. You put that and you keep this. There's a sign and there is a date. And what we ought to do is we ought to take that. And I would encourage you right now, take out your pen or pencil or, as Jay Strack says, mascara or whatever you've got to write with. Okay? And you sign that right there and say, Lord, knowing it is God's will, and with your help, starting right now, I will not let fear keep me from witnessing. And we ought to sign that right now. And you sign it, put the date. Today's the 25th. Is that not right? I'm right about that, aren't I? On the 25th, June 25th, 2017, I'm going to decide not to do that. And I'm going to start by being different this week. You know, one of the things that we're doing here is to not only to see the principles, but also to see the practicality of it, that you need to pray every day. And there's a sample prayer down there. God, I want my friends to know Jesus the way I do. Help me defeat the fear I feel when I think about talking to them about Jesus. Let me tell you, sometimes you'll utter this prayer when you're walking into an office, or you're going into a family meeting, or you're going to see a next door neighbor. You can pray that prayer when you see someone at a distance and you know that you ought to share their testimony. And then what we also want you to do is exactly what we asked you to do last week. It's to share your story with two people. It's easy. You can do, as Dennis has suggested, it's a homework assignment. But as you do it more, the easier it's going to become and the more natural it's going to become. And you have that testimony, and practice that testimony that you've written. And then say, Lord, I'm going to be proactive in that. I'm going to do that this week. And I'm going to share with at least two people. Some of you can do it with many more. But that's what we need to do, and say, I'm not going to be defeated by my fear. We need to understand the underlying truth of all this is that, first of all, we cannot share what we do not know. When you look at this and you've lived with this fear, for some of you, there are some here today that you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to say yes to Him. And God has offered you the opportunity to miss hell, to gain heaven, to know Christ as your Savior, and today needs to be that day. So that you will be able to share something that you have truly, truly experienced. And the other thing is for us to say that I'm going to go forth and I'm going to be that witness. Dennis was right in the very beginning, is that we like to talk about the Lord in a controlled environment. We like to come to worship. But we are to be witnesses. We are to be sharing our testimony and share what we've experienced and what we know to be true. And for the many of us, that means that, you know, God gives to you an opportunity to step up today, to take a step in a direction you ever known. You know what I found? Most people who become effective witnesses, they can remember the first time they ever did it because it was a life-changing experience. And you walk away from that and you see, boy, what has God done for me? And why have I missed that time in sharing that with other people? And so today, God puts before you an opportunity. For some of you, to know Christ as your Savior. For some of you, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, to take that next step and say, yeah, I'm going to be serious. This is not just something I went through in the worship service. Lord, when I signed that, I gave my word to you. I'm going to keep my commitment because I want to bring honor and glory to you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you today, God, we thank you that we do not have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That, Father, you give us the capacity to share our faith. For in Christ, we have a testimony to be shared. And, Lord, we don't have to be afraid because you go before us. You give us a sense of your power. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. I pray today for those that are here who do not know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, perhaps they are fearful about the future. I pray you take that away, that they can know for certain that Jesus Christ is their Savior. I pray that you'd give them strength and the power and the courage to make that decision today. I pray for believers that are here. Lord, what is at stake here, we know, are the lives of other people who need to hear that good news. They so desperately need to hear it. They focus on so many things in their life, and yet the ultimate answer is always Jesus. So, Lord, we pray today for the benefit of those around us, those that we come in contact with. We pray that you'd make us bold as a witness, that we could do something that is so easy, so simple, so rewarding, so powerful, so meaningful, something that will be a highlight in our lives when we know we've shared the good news. Give us the courage to keep this commitment we've made today, Lord, and give us expectant hearts to see what you're going to do as we get out there, share our story, sow the seed. We're not the one who picks the ground. We just sow the seed. Lord, give us a sense of urgency about it and a sense of expectancy and excitement. We pray in Jesus' name. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation and give you the opportunity to respond to this message. Some of you need to come today and say, I want to know Christ as my Savior. Some of you may have just given your life to Jesus. You need to make that public profession of faith. Some of you here today need to come to these prayer rails because you know who you ought to share the gospel with, and you've known it for a while, and just something has kept you from doing it. Hey, my prayer is this lesson will help you march right through that. And perhaps you need to come to these prayer rails and say, dear God, give me the strength, give me the courage, help me to remember what I've learned today. Perhaps you need a church home. We open the doors of this church for believers. You need a place to worship and serve, cares about people knowing Christ. Perhaps it's a time of recommitment for you. But as we're here, as ministers will be here to receive you, we invite you to come as we're going to stand and sing in a moment. We're going to sing, Lord, there is none like you. What we need to do is flesh it out. Flesh it out and live it. And this invitation is open to you that you might come. As we stand and as we sing together, would you come as God is dealing with you? Would you do that right now? Balcony, main floor, wherever you might be. Would you come as we sing together?